Welcome to the Creative South Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Frostholm. My guest this week is Rocky Rourke. Rocky is a San Diego-based designer and illustrator working for digital telepathy by day and freelancing by night. He's worked with clients like Facebook, Box, and Adobe. I talk with Rocky about growing up in Georgia, getting his start working for Focus Lab, and his new venture, Slapstickers. All right after this. In case you haven't heard, our buddy Aaron James Draplin has a book titled Draplin Design Company, Pretty Much Everything, coming out May 17th, and you can pre-order it now. The pre-order of $25 is in effect right up until May 17th, so act now. Draplin's proud of the fact that this book is viciously affordable yet jam-packed with a mountain of information. Good, solid value. Act now and head over to ddcbook.com and pre-order your copy of Draplin Design Company, Pretty Much Everything today. On to the show. Rocky, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So let's dive right into it. Where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
So I am from a small military town about 45 minutes south of Savannah, Georgia, called Hinesville, Georgia, home of the 3rd Infantry Division, Fort Stewart. Spent 19 years of my life there, and for the first 23, 24 years, I lived within like a 50-mile radius of that whole area, jumping to a couple other small towns and then eventually living in Savannah before I eventually made a big move out to the West Coast.
Cool. So when you were growing up, were you an arty kid or do you enjoy sports, or were you just kind of all-around kid?
I was never a sports kid. Like my mom and my family and everything, they always tried to get me to get involved in sports. But I was never into it. I was always a doodler.
Yeah, I was the same way. sports ball is lost on me. Not that I didn't play sports. I just, if it involved a ball of any type, I was horrible at it.
I think I played peewee football for 2 days, and then I was done. That was it. That was the extent of my pre-NFL career.
Your very pre-NFL career?
Yeah.
Still waiting on that contract, right?
Yeah, still waiting for it. But no, I remember my mom used to bring home used copy paper from her job, and she would give it to me because We were too poor to really afford like going out and buying packs of paper and everything. I remember using crayons down to the nub or markers down to where they didn't mark at all and everything. I remember just like sitting on my grandmother's floor and just like drawing all these things out. And my mom would come to pick me up and there'd be drawings like all taped to the walls, taped to the fridge, like all over the place and everything.
Gotcha. So going through school, did you take a lot of art classes, or did you not really discover that until later?
Well, I mean, I took in middle school, I took a couple art classes, but when I was in high school, I took graphic arts. I originally signed up for the class believing that it was like intro to video games. Like that's what the teacher in my middle school like was like, oh yeah, I think it has to do with video games or something. Next thing I know, I get to the school for like open house, and they are like, nope, it has to do with printing and computer. And so I was like,
okay. I mean, I guess technically it can have to do with video games. That's one aspect of it.
Yeah, at the time though, it was like the teacher was just like, no, it has nothing to do with video games at all.
Right. It's a very small niche of that. I'm going to imagine in Hinesville, they were not very aware of.
Oh, no. Like, I remember the main focus of the class was, well, the two main focuses was either the digital side of things using like the Adobe suite and everything. And then the other one was printing, and primarily like using the old like offset printers, the stuff that, you know, you could really like get your hand jammed up in, which unfortunately that happened to a few kids, but like just like all that kind of stuff. And it was a class I ended up taking 8 times between the time that I started high school and the time I graduated high school.
Why'd you take it so many times? I mean, was it just because you loved it, or was it because it was an easy A?
Well, it was an easy A. Yeah, like it was an easy A. I loved being on the computer. I loved the fact that I could create these things on it. And at the time, by all means, I look back at the stuff I created. I'm like, oh my God, that was total shit. And then at the time, though, I was just like, yes, I'm creating awesome things. And I would create anything and everything for the school and for others as well. Like if the school needed prom tickets created or posters for the prom or for literary magazines and stuff like that, I was the one that you would come to create it. If someone needed like graduation invitations, oh, let's go see Rocky. Maybe he'll do it for $20. And so that whole started my freelancing career even. And
early entrepreneur status.
Oh yeah, $20 for these crappy graduation invitation designs and everything.
Hey, when you're 15, 16 years old, $20 is a lot of money.
Yeah, definitely. And it actually led to my first actual design job, which was working as the in-house artist for a printing company.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I basically, another air quotes, designed t-shirts that they printed in-house using screen printing. And then also like business cards, like applying logos to koozies and coasters and keychains and pens. And even the weirdest one I ever saw was condom wrappers. Like actually applying some wannabe rapper's logo to condom wrappers that he was throwing out at shows and stuff. And I'm like, it was just some crazy stuff.
Well, I guess at least he was promoting safe sex.
Yeah, but true.
That's an odd promotional item that I don't think I've ever heard of coming out the door before.
Yeah, I know. I was like, it had to have been the weirdest promotional item I'd ever heard of. But I worked there for probably about 8 months from like junior to senior year of high school. And I actually supported me and my mom for a good half of that. She had lost her job, and I was the only one who had a steady income. She was collecting unemployment, but I kept the job. It was a horrible job. the guy who owned it was
just called high school.
Oh yeah. The guy was ex-special forces. He was so rude to his employees. He bumped up the pay just above minimum wage to make you feel like you were getting a fair amount of money. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like I was working while in high school, like 40 plus hour weeks. And it was just miserable work. And I the day that my mom got a new job, I was like, Mom, can I please quit this job? And she, up until that point, she had no idea that this job was like killing me and that it was just like, you know, wearing me out and I wasn't really digging it. And, but that was like my first real taste of like the quote unquote design world. If you think that.
So after high school, did you go to college? Where'd you go?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I went to Georgia Southern University. located in Statesboro, Georgia. It has a nice art program, but the design program is very, very small, and it's difficult. And difficult not in like it's very competitive. I mean, it is, but it doesn't get you like ready for the real world. Like you have to basically get yourself ready for it.
Right.
And I went there for 4 years. I graduated magna cum laude with a 3.81 GPA.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I did not care at all about grades. I did that for my mom. But the whole time I was there, I would do the classwork assignments, which at that point in my life, I already knew were complete BS. Mm-hmm. And I basically...
Are you saying you haven't used trigonometry since college?
I haven't used algebra since college.
Yeah, me either.
But I basically spent all my free time in my my home studio that I had. Like, my mom had moved to my college town, and I had a spare like a almost like a den area that was attached to her living room, and I used that as a home studio where I did freelance work. I did a ton of research, just like absorbing anything and everything I could get my hands on. I was reaching out to so many artists and designers that I admire, just asking them for advice or critiques on my work. And for the most part, you know, some of them got back to me. Others just sent, you know, a blanket statement that they probably sent to every single art student that sent them something.
Sure.
And but everything like really helped. And like most of my classmates, they would go out and party. Georgia Southern's a party school.
I believe it was number one party school by Playboy magazine in the late 80s.
Oh, I believe that. I really believe that.
Like, which is part of the reason my parents would not let me go there when I graduated.
I remember my mom made me make a promise my freshman year that I would not drink until I was 21. I did not drink until I was 20 when we went on a family cruise to the Bahamas. And she lifted the ban on me drinking.
So there were no embargoes at that point.
Yeah, so there were no more embargoes on that at that point. And so, but I was never a big party person. Like, I, even to this day, I drink once or twice a year, maybe three times if I feel like I want to. Right. But in college, like, I just spent all my time just like absorbing, you know, everything, learning things and creating things and everything. And it was, I think, the time that it really showed was our senior year when we had our portfolio, senior portfolio and everything. We had basically the entire year to create our whole finished portfolio. Right. And for pretty much everybody, it didn't really start until your second semester, like right your final like sprint to the finish where you would be creating everything. And I spent my entire last spring break inside of our computer lab on campus, just like cranking out everything, like creating all my stuff. And by the end of spring break, I was completely done. I had my entire senior portfolio finished. Everything was ready to go. My classmates were just about to like get started on maybe the second half of their work. Mm-hmm. And here I'm sitting in class just like watching Netflix and, you know, dueling away. And they're like, how come he gets to do that? And the professor was like, he's finished. They were all shocked. They're like, how the hell did you finish?
Well, it's also at that point in college, it's like the professor's not there. They're not there to hold your hand either.
Oh,
it's,
no.
You know,
yeah.
Sink or swim at that point. It's if you don't do it on your own.
You know. Oh, yeah. Like it's well, even that, even like anytime, that's how it is. Because
well, sure.
Unfortunately, the professors, for the most part, I've only met a few professors who are up to date on the design world and everything, but they're so out of touch with the design world that they're giving you as a student outdated information. So that's why you have to go out and find out the information for yourself.
Right.
That's just a personal.
So do you feel Georgia Tech taught you more the technical skills than the
Georgia Southern?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Different schools, very different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Very different emphasis is one thing. Emphasis. Do you feel it gave you kind of a technical background of how to work the programs and things like that, but not so much of the creative background?
I will actually be honest. I learned all the technical aspects of things in high school. Mm-hmm. I actually came to college with more knowledge than some of my teachers. Mm-hmm. In fact, there were times where I actually was the one teaching my classmates how to use software, and the professors were like, "You can do that? Can you do that again? Do it one more time. Let me see how you did that." And it was at that point, that's when I really realized, holy crap, I have to teach myself or I'm not going to get anywhere.
Right.
If these professors who have like 20 plus years of experience over me don't even know how to use this, then I need to learn somewhere else. And so, honestly, I did not learn a single thing in college. That's the biggest disappointment to me, is that I have a college degree that honestly was just a $26,000, piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. You got another cheap.
Well, that's just the student loans. Like, I had a full ride and got student loans to help pay bills and everything. So technically,
dude, my student loans are like twice that.
Yeah, like I think total with like the free ride, $76,000.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, but I learned everything outside of class and all that. My classmates, some of them still don't even have design jobs. And it's been almost 3 years since we graduated.
Sure.
And it just amazes me, because most of them, when we graduated, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take the summer off. I'm going to enjoy life. And then I'm going to get back into it and blah, blah, blah. When I graduated college, me and my mom moved out to my aunt's trailer, and I lived on an air mattress for 5 months.
Ah, the lap of luxury.
I know, right? Where every morning I was woken up by the crows roosting and, smelling cows and hearing mooing and stuff like that. And
sounds glamorous, Rocky.
I know, right? No, I spent the first month of after graduating at my aunt's dining room table with my first iMac. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was cranking out as much stuff as I could. I was on Treehouse. I was on a bunch of other sites, like learning things, sharing things. I was in contact with a bunch of people, and people were noticing just like how committed I was, how determined I was, just by all the stuff I did. And that led to my first job.
Sure.
But really, something that happened to me after that whole senior portfolio thing, it was actually the day after portfolio was when I went to Creative South.
Okay.
And that was my first Creative South. That was 2013, when Draplin came and spoke at the conference. I just the day before going had my senior portfolio show, and then I got up at like 3 a.m. and drove in a school van with a handful of other art students. And we went to Creative South, and something clicked, clicked at that moment. Like the whole experience just like really helped drive me, and it helped push me. And it's what helped drive me to, when here I'm living out in the country, on an air mattress with like six dogs climbing on top of me and everything.
I would hope that alone would drive you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that alone drove me. But still, like, just the inspiration that Creative South gave me. And sure. Like, I was able to talk to Draplin. I was able to talk to Raji Keene, which – I never heard of, Raji or Nick Slater until the conference. And I was like, just enamored by like how amazing these guys were. And, I go up to talk to them, all my other friends are like, oh, I would love to talk to him, but I'm scared shitless. And I'm like, I walk straight up to him and I start talking to him. And, by the second day of the conference, half the speakers knew my name. They knew my work and everything. And,
Have you always been that outgoing, or was that just a, going to take a chance and put myself out there thing?
It was definitely a take a chance. I actually, most of my life, and it's something that most people didn't really know about me, is I struggled with social anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty common thing amongst artistic people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like even up to like a year plus ago, like I was at a music festival with like a couple of coworkers, and then my coworkers left me, and I was like just listening to the band I wanted to come see. And the next thing I know, they finish up and I look around and I'm like the only one there that's by themselves. And I start having panic attack, and I'm like, I gotta get out of here. But
I would have done the same thing.
There's something that has just like clicked where I know when I have to overcome things. Mm-hmm. Like I know when I have to overcome that, and I know when I don't have to overcome. So like music festival, I'm like, there's no like value to overcoming it and just going out there and being out, being like outspoken, being that person that will go straight up to a speaker without any fear and talking to them.
Sure.
Whereas going to a conference, you know, and going up to Nick Slater after his talk and just like talking him for like 5 minutes, you know, or before leaving Creative South, talking to Raji King for over half an hour while my fellow classmates, well, fellow students are like sitting there tapping their feet, like, come on, let's go. Shut up. I'm talking to Raji King.
They're missing the point of the conference, and you're out there, you know, making friends and making connections, and they're like, no, you can't talk to him. He's too cool. That sort of thing.
It's crazy because I see that still going on to this day. Like, I'll meet up with students from Georgia Southern, and they're just there to watch the whole thing. And it's not about watching. When you go to a conference, especially Creative South, you have to be a part of it.
Right.
You know, now that being said, I don't mean like you need to go there, get the Creative South logo tattooed on your forehead, but you need to like get up and like talk to people.
I will pay for that tattoo. I will not pay for the removal, but I will pay for that tattoo.
See, that's the thing. You know, you get someone to pay, you know, like $5,000, you get the tattoos, 2 months later you get removed, and now you're up a few grand. But no.
And an interesting story to tell.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But no, like, I remember my second, let's see, what's this year going to be? This year's going to be year four for me at Creative South. Mm-hmm. And I think it was year two. I saw a bunch of like the students I knew were from Georgia Southern, and they're just standing around. Like there's all these people around them. They're talking and everything. And I go up to them, I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're just standing here. I'm like, go talk to people, be sociable. You can learn so much and create so many connections. They're like, oh, we're only juniors. We don't need to do that. We'll wait till we're seniors before we do. I'm like,
it's not about networking. It's just about meeting people who are, you know, at one point going to be your peers.
Exactly. And even like, for one, unless you tell them that you're a student,
you know or care.
They see you as a peer.
Yeah.
You know, you're there at this creative conference. There's a reason why you're there. You're there because you're interested in the same stuff that they are. And you just have to show, you know, you just have to get out there and find out more about them. You got to, you know, spend that little bit of time talking to them. Like I spent, I think, 15 minutes in a loud, like, bar hall with Matt Helm, who previously was at Treehouse, now he's at Google. And I talked to him and everything, like, talked to him so much that I had no voice the next morning. But, you know, I talked to him, I gave him my crappy business card that I thought was so cool at the time. And, you know, the next morning I see him again and he's like, dude, I checked out your stuff last night and I even showed it to a bunch of the speakers this morning. They love it. Like they were all talking about you and everything. And I'm like, holy shit, really? Like Nick Slater, Raji King, they were talking about me? Wow, holy crap. And people always ask, how did you get your name out there? How did you like start knowing people? How in the world can you email Draplin and he emails you back, or you know, text Nick Slater or Skype with Raji King? And I'm like, because I got off my ass and I talked to them. You know, I wasn't afraid sitting in the corner while all these people who were, you know, much more, I don't want to say advanced, but more established than I am.
Yeah, you know? That'd be a good way.
Yeah, like you have to get up, and the only way to become established is to be established yourself.
Right. Well, so let's talk about that, about you getting established. So you graduate college. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to work after that? What were you doing? Aside from, you know, enjoying the comforts of six dogs and an air mattress. What were you doing?
So my after that first month of roughly a month of like living on an air mattress, like doing treehouse stuff, just like posting and posting and posting. Mm-hmm. I had been talking to Bill Kenny at Focus Lab for on and off for like the course of a few months. Mm-hmm. We had always talked about getting lunch. You know, Focus Lab is out of Savannah, Georgia, so it was like a pretty close drive, relatively. And so I wanted to, I was like, okay, I gotta like really try and push this and try and like maybe establish connection. Maybe I can do freelance for them or something like that. And so I saw that he had posted that he had gone to this conference, ValioCon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I sent him a direct message. I was like, hey, Bill, hope you enjoyed San Diego. Always want to go out there. Let me know if you ever want to get that lunch or anything. And, I think within like an hour or so, he messaged back and he was like, ValioCon was awesome. Yeah, we definitely need to get you out here and, see if we can't find you a spot in the company. When I read that, like to give you a little atmosphere, I was at the kitchen table. My aunt and mom are in the living room watching TV. I squeal like a little schoolgirl.
I was about to ask if you did.
Yeah, like I did this like shrilling thing and my mom was like, what? Bill Kenny of Focus Lab might help me get a job. But it was just like, it was really awesome. And I did end up going out there and we never actually had lunch. That was the thing. That's the funniest thing about it is the whole plan was to go and have lunch with him and the rest of the people at Focus Lab.
Sure.
Never even made it out to lunch because we went into this this like conference room. We just sat down. We were talking for a good like hour and a half about everything from design to like our beginnings and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the discussion, he was like, I got to talk to my my co-founder Eric and everything, but go home knowing that you have a job. I just have to talk to him, but go home knowing that you have a job, give your mom a big hug and say, I've got my first job. And I was just like ecstatic. And there was still that whole like, well, what if, Eric doesn't want to hire another person? So I was like a little iffy, but I get home and I check my Twitter and he had sent me a message saying, you start Tuesday.
That's awesome.
I was like, yes, I start Tuesday. And
that's kind of impressive because that's a fairly decent sized agency that does pretty good work.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill's pretty well known, especially now. So to get your first job out of college, that's a big deal.
Oh yeah, and it was really great. To show you like how dedicated I was. I was still living on that air mattress for the next 3 or 4 months.
Sure.
And I was driving about an hour and a half to work and an hour and a half home every single day for about 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Just because, I wanted to save up my money so I could get a good place and everything. But also, I wasn't going to let anything like slow me down. Distance, I didn't care that I was driving an hour and a half to work because I was able to work how I wanted to. I was able to create things and I was able to work at an amazing place like Focus Lab.
So what were you doing at Focus Lab?
So at Focus Lab, I was a branding designer.
Okay.
And so I worked with Bill Kenny, Matt Yao, and a bunch of other people. Names are escaping me right now just because of, it's a late night on a Sunday. But I worked with an amazing team and I was able to work on a lot of great projects, just like churning out a bunch of logo designs, working with typography. I learned so much, especially from Matt. Mm-hmm. Matt was really like a big like mentor for me. Like he taught me things on Illustrator I didn't even know, and I'd been using Illustrator for close to 10 years at that point. But it was really great working with them and working working in branding and everything. But eventually I kind of got burnt out with branding. I did like some illustration stuff, and we did create like a little side project, slap stickers, or at least the idea came about during that time. And but I was getting like really burnt out. And so after about a year, we kind of just parted ways. And I eventually, like, I had, was able to go out to ValioCon, that same conference that that Bill had gone to. And I met some awesome people in San Diego. And after I I left Focus Lab, I actually got a job out here in San Diego.
Right. And you work for what, Digital Telepathy?
Yes, Digital Telepathy, yeah. Yeah, and again, that was only that was probably like a month courting process. So like I went I work really hard. If I ever have a problem where I need to like find a job or find income or something like that, I work hard relatively quickly. I think I probably was on the phone with Digital Telepathy within the same day that I left Focus Lab. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's been great. I've been out here for almost a year and a half now. Right. And it's been a great thing. I've gone from being a branding designer to being a UI UX designer. And so it was a big change and a big adjustment, but it's been very, very rewarding and a lot of fun. And then it's also allowed me to continue doing all my freelance, which I do nothing but illustration for freelance.
So let's talk about that, because I know that, you know, from talking to you, you know, with the Slack group and things like that, that's more of where your passion lies, is illustration.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You've done that. So how did that kind of evolve where you've, you know, built that background where you want to, that's what you want to focus on?
Yeah. So that's illustration. That is by far, that's the thing I'm most passionate about. And anyone and everyone who knows me or works with me, they know that. Mm-hmm. In fact, whenever at work, whenever they need illustration stuff, everyone is always trying to vie for my time to do a quick little illustration or icons or something like that for them. Mm-hmm. But over the years, like, you know, during college and everything, I really, really was pushing illustration. You know, I remember telling my design professors, I was like, yeah, I really want to, you know, not just do design, I want to also do illustration and like really incorporate more illustration into design. And they're like, you're not going to make any money in that. You know, it's a very tough thing to do, you know, don't do it.
It's kind of a myopic viewpoint.
Yeah. They were very negative. They were very, very negative on it. One professor was just like, you're just going to be a starving artist is basically what you're going to be. And now I do,
yes, because regular graphic design is so lucrative monetarily.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's crazy because, there's been many times where I just want to go back, and just be like, so you said the illustration, you know, wasn't lucrative or wasn't worth it. Here's my portfolio, you know. Now look at my portfolio and tell me it isn't. Yeah. it's a little harsh, but.
Well, it's also, you know, don't look at it from the point of money. Look at it from the point of the work you're putting out. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you can do something that's awesome and get paid $5 for it, and you can do something that's mediocre and get paid $10,000 for it. Which one are you more proud of?
Yeah, like
the $10,000 pays the bills a lot better. But which one do you want people to know you for?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, like I started off with my freelance illustration work with the first people I really worked a lot with was the creators of a game called Humans vs. Zombies. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yes, I get assaulted by the ads for it every time I open Angry Birds.
Yeah, it was a fun game that I originally played on the Georgia Southern campus. Mm-hmm. And I got involved with it, and I volunteered. My services create a bunch of posters that we put up all over the campus. I actually, not only did I create the posters, I also printed them myself, paid for them and everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember going onto their site, and they had this like section where you could post, you know, the artwork that you created for posters and stuff like that. And so I posted them. And within a couple of days, one of the, I believe he was one of the founding members, like contacted me. It was like, dude, I love your artwork. Can we work together or something like that? And, we did like trade a service. He built me my first website. I did a bunch of illustrations for Humans versus Zombies and everything.
Sure.
And then eventually something else came out of that. The same guys who created Humans versus Zombies created another game that I think people are going to recognize a lot more than that, which was Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And yeah. So I worked with them for, I want to say, two and a half years, mm-hmm. doing freelance illustration work for like promos. Like we did holiday stuff around Christmas time. We did a TSA illustration when they started shipping international to Canada. Mm-hmm. We did a bunch of like little illustrations and stuff like that. But eventually like we had a falling out and everything, and it, you know, eventually just like went cold. But I've done a lot of my clientele has grown since then. Like now I've gone from doing stuff for like Cards Against Humanity and Humans vs. Zombies to now, recently I started doing, a lot of freelance work for Facebook.
Right.
Facebook, box.com, and a few others that they're escaping me, but but yeah, it's crazy to think, because you know, just a few years ago, I graduated college, and I'm talking to all these people who they've worked for companies like that, and now I'm that person.
Yeah, because I mean, this is 3 years down the road. That's pretty quick to get to that level of being able to do that. Even you know, I mean, obviously you're very talented. But even with that level of talent, that's, you know, it's hard to cut through that slack because everybody wants to be able to do something with that. So that's,
oh, yeah. Yeah. And everyone, the thing that surprises everyone, because I'm only 25 years old and I now like I have a full time job at a really great design agency. I do freelance for companies like Facebook and Box.com and others. And I have my own business and everything. And that's all by the age of 25. And people are like, how in the world can you do all that? And I'm like, it's partially time management and a very supporting mother.
I'm horrible at time management. I have always been horrible at time management.
Yeah, it's just like when I work, you know, a little over 40 hours a week at my day job, you know, and then as soon as I get home, either I go to the gym or I fix dinner and then I go straight back to work.
Right.
You know, there's a few times where I'll like have days where I'm like, you know what? I have no freelance projects I have to get done. I'm going to take a lazy day and, you know, watch some movies or play PS4 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like I'm usually every night doing something for freelance or working on stuff for Slap Stickers or trying to work on a new professional website for myself, you know, just all those different things. I feel that if I were to stop, then I would just get lazy.
Sure.
And that's something I definitely don't want to do.
Sure. Well, let's talk about Slap Stickers since you mentioned it real quick. How did that come about? Because I know you mentioned that the idea came about when you were at Focus Lab, but you really didn't get it kicked off the ground until earlier in 2015.
Yeah. So the original idea was created when I was at Focus Lab. We were looking to create passive income for the company. I was trying to think of the right word. And so we like Matt Yao wrote a branding book. And we got those printed up. I don't know if they ever actually sold them online or not. And then my idea was slap stickers, which originally it was going to be a sticker pack of stickers that I designed, all circled around our fellow designers and artists that we love. Like, I think, who is in it? Draplin, Raji, Nick Slater, the Hood Sisters, and a bunch of others. And I illustrated all of these people. Looking back, I totally hate the style I did, but everyone else loved them. And we were going to get them printed. Like, we had everything prepped. Like, we even had started on a website and everything for it. And then, you know, it got put on the back burner because we had a bunch of client work that came in. So we were like, okay, we're going to put all the passive income stuff on hold. And then it just never got picked back up again. And when it came time for me and folks to part ways, they were like, you own it. That you spent all that time contacting all the artists and designers. That is completely yours. You can do it what you wish and everything like that. So that was really great. And I just honestly, I just used the original logo for slap stickers as my personal logo. Mm-hmm. And but it wasn't until Creative South, again, you know, Creative South always seems to always creep into all my stories. But Creative South.
Thank you for the shameless plug on the Creative South podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? But last year at Creative South, I went back, I printed off like 200 of the slap hand mark stickers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone, I think the year before and that year, they were like, hey, what happened with slap stickers? Is it coming back? You know, are you going to revive it? You know, what's going on with it? And honestly, I told them, I have no idea. I don't really plan to bring it back or anything like that. You know, I was using the hand mark as my personal logo. And a couple things happened. Like, I met up with my friend Bobby Wing. And I learned about his whole thing Inch by Inch, which is a button subscription, monthly button subscription. And I was just like, I was enamored by it. I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And another thing happened, which was I remember I put a stack of like 50 stickers on a table. It just says like, you know, for people to grab and everything. And I go back and they're gone. And I thought, I went up to one of the Creative South staff members. I was like, hey, did you happen to see where all like those t-shirts and the stickers went and everything? And she's like, oh, they're gone. People like were grabbing them up like they were hotcakes. I was like, holy crap, really? Like, people loved it. I'm like, oh, wow, that's a pretty cool idea. And so I, on the flight back from Creative South, I just started making a list of things. And I start like things I wanted to illustrate, things I wanted to create, maybe possible ideas for like passive income and everything. And I remember writing down Inch by Inch. Mm-hmm. And then the next line, stickers. And I went back to that a couple of days later. And I was just like looking through the thing. And then I saw Inch by Inch and stickers. I was like, what about a sticker subscription? And that's just when all the pieces fell into place.
So then you start you kind of get that ball rolling, you get a bunch of stuff lined up, and you start the Kickstarter campaign, which I think you reached funding pretty quickly on, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Our goal was, how much was our goal? Our goal was, I think, 4,000. Mm-hmm. And we reached that in only 6 days.
Right.
And we eventually, at the end of our 1 month Kickstarter, we raised, I believe, $7,000, and it was actually really amazing. It was something that really like inspired me. It was something I worked extremely hard on. It there were at when we before the Kickstarter launched and during the Kickstarter, I was putting in a total of between 80 and 120 hour weeks.
Dude, you gotta stop that.
Yeah.
That's not good for your health.
Yeah, I was working really, really hard. Like even during my lunch breaks at work, like when I didn't have to like work through lunch, I was actually going through and I was like checking social media. I was like reaching out to people. I was like sharing things. I was like trying to get everything going and everything like that. And it was just like, I was like so worn out. Like people were like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I've been working for so many hours straight. Like I really looked like I was sick or tired, but it all paid off."
Well, I know, and there were a few times in the Slack channel where you were fairly incoherent.
Oh yeah. But, and then like the whole thing is that during this whole process, I've had small sprints to do things. So like getting the Kickstarter ready, I did that in really about 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was massive plan. It was using entire weekends where I sat on a couch, just like working on my MacBook Pro, my old small MacBook Pro, trying to get everything churned out and hopefully it wouldn't catch on fire because it was overheating. Mm-hmm. And then like after the Kickstarter, the next part was creating the actual Slap Stickers website. And that alone also was, all I had was a month to do it.
Thank goodness for Squarespace.
Oh yeah. Thank God for that.
This episode brought to you by I wish.
Who knows? Hopefully they might.
One day.
But like it was amazing to think about now how much I've accomplished in such a short time and everything. And it's also amazing how I've been able to have such an amazing family roster for Slap Stickers. You know, we have, I want to say between 32 and 35 artists and designers from all over the globe.
Right.
Who are donating their time to create these amazing stickers. And it's something that it's really inspiring. It's like really helped show me, you know, how great of a community we have. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it's all been inspired by Creative South, because most of these people I've met at Creative South.
Right.
And it's people that whenever I go back, I get to, you know, hang out with them. I get to get drunk with them. I get to watch Justin Mazzell draw doodles with hot sauce at 2 a.m. in the morning.
That can end badly.
Yeah, it can. It can. But it's just like those crazy things that to see like where Creative South led to all of that. Mm-hmm. And so like, the biggest thing for me is with Slap Stickers, I don't care about making money. Sure. You know, the only thing I care about is, you know, that it pays for itself, or at least it's profitable to where I can give back. And that's why eventually I want to sponsor, you know, Creative South. I'm hoping to this year, but I don't know if we're at that point yet. I want to be able to sponsor like Weapons of Mass Creation, you know, and all the other conferences, just so that, you know, what we're doing here, I can give back to everyone else.
Right.
You know, not only with these amazing stickers and everything, but, you know, be able to like fund these events and really help to push the envelope.
Of course. So, you know, and I think that's a great and noble thing to do, but not really, but so what else are you, you know, kind of working on? What's in the pipe for Rocky?
Yeah. So the next thing for me is actually doing my first speaking engagement. I think like a couple weeks ago, Drew Wilson, who's the creator of ValleyOcon, that same conference I brought up.
I was about to say.
Yeah. He reached out to me and he was like, "Hey, how would you like to speak at ValleyOcon about Slap Stickers?" And it's actually funny because at that point when he asked me that, I was actually homesick that day after getting a tooth pulled and had just woken up from a Vicodin-inspired nap. And so Vicodin-forced
nap, I think, is
the
term you're looking for.
And I actually had to take my phone and bring it out. I was like, I asked my mom, hey, can you quick read this text, this message, and see if this is really what I think it is? And of course, it was. And I answered yes. And so now I'll be speaking at my first conference in May in San Diego.
And makes for a nice commute for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very nice commute. And so I'll be speaking about slap stickers then. And I'm hoping to get a few more speakerships. There's been talk before with Mike Jones about me possibly speaking at Creative South sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure if that's going to happen, but it's definitely something I'm interested in doing, because I see speaking engagements as a way to give back. You know, even if I can inspire someone to create like some sort of small business or something like that, or be inspired to do a Kickstarter, or be inspired to do an intense social media campaign to make their ideas a reality, I think that's well worth it.
Awesome. So. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with me. Wrapping up real quick, where can people find you online?
So they can find me pretty much anywhere. I'm on Dribbble. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can look at you can do at Rocky Rourke on pretty much any social media avenue, and you're going to find me. Dribbble is dribbble.com/Rocky Rourke. And I'm still working on my new website, but again, that is rockyrourke.com. That should be up probably in the next month or so. Just have to find the time to put it together.
We wrap every podcast up with saying, go out and hug some necks. Rocky Rourke, thank you for joining us today on the Creative South podcast, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in this week. You can find out more about Rocky at rockyrourke.com or follow him at Rocky Rourke on Twitter. And be sure to check out the show notes for more links to Rocky and slap stickers. You can keep up with the podcast on Twitter at CreativeSOPod and follow Creative South on Twitter and Instagram at CreativeSouthGA or over at CreativeSouthGA.com. And I'm at Jay Frostel on Dribbble, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like the Creative South podcast, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. Rate us and leave a review. This helps more people find the podcast and allows us to keep getting awesome guests. Now go out and hug some necks. We'll be right back.